This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. J.D. Salinger was famously private, and his privacy was frequently and famously invaded by photographers, journalists, curiosity seekers, filmmakers, and fans of his landmark novel, The Catcher in the Rye. That Salinger lived in Cornish, New Hampshire is well known. Less known is that Salinger had two homes in Cornish. The first he lived in for 14 years and sits directly behind the second. NHPR's Sean Hurley spoke to the current owner of the first house about her longtime neighbor, J.D. Salinger.
Critics like to say we shouldn't make too much of it. But on January 1, 1953, J.D. Salinger followed the only dream Holden Caulfield ever had and escaped from the pressure cooker of New York City and moved into a falling down barn on a rocky knoll in Cornish, New Hampshire.
And I'd build me a little cabin somewhere with the dough I made and live there for the rest of my life.
There was no running water in the cabin Salinger found. No bathroom, no heat. But there was land and a view. Hills and valleys and mountains in the distance.
He bought it, I was always told, with the proceeds from Catcher in the Rye.
That's Joan Littlefield, the home's current owner.
And then a few years after that, he married. And when they started having children, he added on to the original house. But at some point, he built the house down the road on abutting land.
After Salinger and his wife Claire divorced in 1967, Claire took ownership of the cottage, and he moved into the house he'd live in for the remainder of his life. In 1983, Joan Littlefield and her husband Jim bought the original cottage.
The minute we moved in to the house, he called and he welcomed us to the neighborhood, and he said, "If you ever need anything, get in touch with me. We're neighbors now."
Joan had never read a word of Salinger.
I became curious afterward, because he was a lovely, lovely neighbor. When I did read Catcher in the Rye, I read it all at one reading.
Did it surprise you reading the book and then knowing the person?
No, it didn't. I felt there was a strong vein of despising hypocrisy, and you felt it in his conversations.
From time to time, Joan would give Salinger a tour of his former home.
I think that he was completely indifferent to it. I don't think that houses and material things had any appeal for him. He had some interesting little paradoxes in his life that I observed. For instance, you know, that he seems to not have an interest in material things. Yet, in his own way, he always looked snappy. Flannel-y and plaid-y and vest-y.
Joan heads up the stairs into the apartment above the garage.
His son said that his father occupied this place during their breakup.
Was there anything here when you came that was left from Salinger?
Oh, yes, yes. In this crawl space-like attic, we found boxes of papers and some potentially, probably valuable things in his own writing. I don't know what to say without getting too personal.
What will you do with it?
I wish that I could auction it off for $1 million.
The secret boxes were not on the premises, but the secret tunnel connecting the house to the garage was.
That seems to be one of his trademarks. He has one in the house up there, too. I mean, I was really surprised that he would show me through his private tunnel, but he took me right on down through the basement and through the tunnel and out the door to my car. He was very, very gentlemanly.
Joan used to read at night in the loft where Salinger once slept.
See, I was a real night owl, and I used to come up here because I'd read at night, and do you know that beautiful branch out there? It is a broken branch. We should have cut it years ago, but I could not bear to cut this branch because it shed the most wonderful filtered moonlight.
From the loft, Joan heads out to her favorite spot.
I call this my sacred garden. I don't know why.
There are flows of hemlock, honeysuckle, fern.
Linton rose. But you see, a fern has taken up residence near.
In the center of the sacred garden, a square white stone.
It's just a big hunk of marble. We brought it from the other house we lived in. I don't know if it was going to be a step to something. It isn't a tomb.
For a moment, Joan Littlefield's sacred garden metaphors tangle into a riddle. The rose hidden beneath a fern. The marble stone that may be a step, but isn't a tomb. The broken branch no one dares cut, because it shed the most wonderful filtered moonlight. For nearly 60 years, J.D. Salinger lived on this hill, in two separate houses, privately and famously, and as quietly as he could.
Do you think he ever wanted to leave the area and go hide away from all of this?
I think he loved it here. I think he had as much protection and love in this community that he could get anywhere. Where would you go?
For Word of Mouth, I'm Sean Hurley.